Well, half of you are old for me, half of you are new. I love this. Those of you who were here the last time, I mean, I want to say it all is the same thing in a way. But let's talk about the grand landscape of, well, I have the wrong set of notes, but hang on.
By the way, these notes are in your app, correctly? Is that true?
Yes.
Yes.
So you may want to open them. Just for those of you who are new, who am I? I'm 74, have 3 adult kids, 6 grandkids, 4 of whom live in the West Coast, 2 grandkids live in Dallas, 2 daughters who are married with those 6 kids, a son who's single. My wife and I have been married for 48 years. I was born in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Trusted Christ as a 6-year-old kid. So I've walked with him now for 67 years, I guess. 68. You know, one of the things about being a grandparent is that you develop a perspective of life that nobody else has in your family. Now, if your grandparents are still living, you know, I mean, your parents probably, not your grand. Is there anybody whose grandparents are still living? That's good. So, okay, well, so, I mean, the legacy of being a godly grandparent is families working together. And as a grandparent, you see life. I mean, I think it's the most amazing thing for me. My kids at their age know nothing of what's ahead. Now, I don't know that the next 40 years in their, well, 30. My oldest daughter is 45, so she'll be 75 or 30 years. I don't know what those 3 decades will be like, but I know what they've been like in my own. For those of you who are new, I have the hiccups. This is the 11th day I've had them. They're trying to get rid of them, but they haven't succeeded yet. So I don't need to figure that out. So if anybody has any experience with hiccups, tell me. But my point is that I know the kinds of things that will happen in the next 30 years. It doesn't make me any better. I cannot look at my kids or my grandkids and say the way I grew up was better. You know, my relationship with God is better than yours or anybody else's. But I have wishes in my head and in my heart to communicate to my adult kids, and in my priority system, they're first. I want to team up with my adult kids to have the impact I think God wants us to have in our grandkids' lives. It makes me want to stay alert to who God is and how I can team up. In the last, these are all notes from our last session, and they fit perfectly. I want to be present in my kids' lives, asking questions. I want to say the best thing a godly grandparent can do is, number one, stay alert yourself spiritually. You know, you are now the next step up for your adult kids and your grandkids. If you have parents still living, you know, that is another option to be brought into the picture, and you could work with them, and you could really be all praying together. I mean, that's a fascinating thing. When my daughter got married, one of the things she wanted her husband's parents and her parents, Vicky and me, to pray together before the wedding ever started up on stage. So before I officiated the wedding, Vicky and I and Alan James all went up on the stage and we knelt together to pray for our kids who were getting married that day. And then the wedding started. So I think about that. You know, godly grandparents, you know, I don't know where your kids' in-laws are and all that kind of stuff. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work, but, you know, grandparents, adult kids, praying together about their kids and your grandkids. If your parents are still living, bring them all in. I mean, just the impact of being a godly grandparent in your life makes all the difference in the world. So I want to take you through a few scriptures. Here's what we'll discuss: the biblical importance and impact of grandparenting, the value of a multi-generational living in the life of a family and the local church. So in the family, you have all these levels and how they communicate with each other, how you communicate values, how you live together and work together makes all the difference in the world. Oh, and I never told you what I do, those of you who heard last time. After a ministry of three different major things in my life, being a pastor for 20 years, leading a major national organization for 16 years, and teaching a class of physicians and dentists for 6 years, I've launched a ministry called Finishing Well Ministries. And I'm not here to, I could have brought stuff to share. I'm not here to do it. But if you want to find out about me, go to finishingwellministries.org and you'll see everything we have. I think it's a great ministry. And my mission is to awaken older people to the mission God has for them in the season of your life. And part of that is being a grandparent. So, some scriptures. I mean, these are fundamental truths. Watch this. That you may fear the Lord and your God, you and your son and your son's son. I talked in the first workshop. God works through three generations primarily. A father, a son, and the grandson. However you want to combine it. You got to always think about that. Crawford Luritz, who has given some of the best message on grandparenting I know. He says on a message out of Psalm 78, 5, 6, and 7. He says you ought to pray for generations you will never see. So you may see like Joseph. We pointed him out in the last session. He had five generations. He was the head of five generations coming behind him. And he gave them a challenge. Just like Joshua did, Joshua 24, who died likewise at age 110. Choose this day whom you will serve. But it's for me, leading his home at the age of 110, we will serve the Lord. So that's the model. By keeping all the statutes, this commandment, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. I mean, really, we talked about a legacy in the first generation. And the challenge of grandparents is to live out that legacy and model it. Does it make sense? I mean, you were here the last session. I mean, that's the challenge of being a grandparent. You want to intensify your commitment to God as best you can. The power of the Holy Spirit in your life, so your life becomes the example, and you're the one leading the way for your adult kids and your grandkids. So this verse continues that your days may be long. Y'all know this passage. This may be the best passage on parenting, or I want to say grandparenting in the Bible. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, with all your might. And these things commanded you today shall be on your heart. So that's the issue, being a godly grandparent. Are the issues of God on your heart? Are the issues of His Word your motivation for life? I mean, just strip everything else away. If you stand before God today, He will ask us, Habecker, what did you do with your life? Who were you focused on? What did our relationship mean? Did you enjoy being led of my spirit? In every sense of the word, thinking through all of life, all of its challenges. Whether your adult kids followed you in their commitment to Christ or they're a little AWOL or whatever, not to mention your grandkids. What did you do with my word in your heart? Man, I think that's the biggest challenge in life. You know, so that I would be with Jesus in every sense of the word, led by his spirit in how I live my, how Vicki and I, my wife, live our lives together. Because that will be the biggest impact that you and I will ever have. You can take your kids and great kids to Disneyland 1,000 times. But that will fail in comparison. I mean, the legacy is not, well, I want my kids to remember that we've been to Disneyland 5 times. Or that we've been to this concert, Taylor Swift concert, taking my grandkids there or whatever. Your impact as a grandparent is how you live your life. That's the primary thing. So there it is. I mean, that's what, they shall be on your heart. With me? Any questions about that? So ask yourself, is that what's on your heart today? I mean, that's why you're here. You want to learn something about being a grandparent. Well, that's the first thing I'd say. The first test I have as a grandparent is how am I living? How am I living with my wife? Are we facing, am I loving her? Do I love my kids? Do I let them know it? Do I share with them what God's doing in my life? And then you get into this next session. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk in the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Now, I want to stop there for a second. Let's have a little discussion about this. What age do you think he's talking about here? How do you teach? And what age? Pardon?
When they're little
and when they're young. And you can talk to them, you can share, you can teach them memory verses, you can influence them, you can be, I mean, that's the way you want your kids to grow up, don't you? Okay, so when they're infants, what do you do about the school years? How do you teach your kids in the school years? Every day, sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. This is a 24/7 process. You're working with your teenagers. You're working with your kids when they're third and sixth grade. But, you know, my kids are long past that. But I'm doing that when they're young. So what do you do when you get to high school? Do you have the same passion? And do you teach them? And the word teach here is real interesting, teach, word. It comes from, the Hebrew word has to do with your incisors. These teeth on the sides here that really cut up the food. So you want to teach in such a way so that it cuts into their lives. Because that's what it says. Every part of your life. You want to make them aware that your relationship with God is 24/7, and his word is a 24/7 thing. You want to cultivate in them spiritual disciplines to help them stay focused on God. Sorry about these hiccups. I'm okay. It's difficult for me at times. When you think of your kids' teenage years, you got to be really creative. Because they don't want to hear from you as much as they did when they were little and you could frame their lives up. So to teach them in those years is a great challenge. Now, all of us are more concerned about our grandkids. That's the session. But my point is, you need to continue. We're all in this together. We need to continue to figure out a way to infuse our lives now in the lives of our adult kids. And that's a real challenge. to know them, to be present in their lives in such a sufficient way. And that means, I really do believe this, that means you ask as many questions as you can of your adult kids. Because honestly, I don't know what it means to be a 45-year-old mother, wife, my daughter in Northern California. Her life is so totally different than mine. I was 45. I don't know. So how am I going to find out? What am I going to do? What kind of questions would I ask? I'm going to scrape a couple things off here. Tell me what kind of questions you would ask to teach your, or to be with in some cutting way with your adult kids. What would you ask?
How can I be praying for you?
How can I pray? What else?
What's your biggest frustration with blank, your grandkid?
I'll tell you a little story along with this. Vicki and I did a marriage conference years ago with Chip Ingram at the Cove in North Carolina. And he said, you can take notes in this and practice it. You should ask your spouse three questions regularly. What's your biggest satisfaction? What do you enjoy? What's your biggest frustration? And what do you want to do about either one of them, if anything? And you're to keep your mouth shut. Let your spouse talk. And cultivate that. Again, I try and do that once a week, maybe every other week, but we do it regularly. What's your biggest joy? Enjoy. What's your biggest frustration? And what do you want to do about it, if anything? And you're listening in the back of your mind, your heart, whatever. What can I do to help her in any one of these? But you want to listen to them. So you ask your kids, what's your biggest frustration? It's great. What else?
Is there anything you wish I knew that you weren't sure I know?
Ah, who told you that?
I came across that in a devotion back in 2018, but I asked my wife that even just this past week. Is that an amazing question?
Say that again.
Yeah. Is there anything you wish I knew that you're not sure I know? That was just humbling when I came across that this past week again. Came across that back in 2018.
I have it right. Is there anything you wish I knew
that you're not sure I know?
That you're not sure I know. Is there anything you wish I knew you're not sure I know? That's good. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's worth being in this workshop. What else? Your name is?
Doug.
Doug? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for all of you who share. Because you can teach yourself. You don't need me. You need a word.
We heard last week at the opening someone once was applying this with me. And it was so helpful, and it's that simple why. Mm. So whatever I'm asking, to always go a little bit deeper. But I found, too, the word hard often is one people we all can resonate with. So if you're talking about it, or say, what do you like about that? Like, whatever their profession is, helps us to not just keep thinking all this down stuff, but what do you like about it? You know, but what's hard? And then to maybe come in with, like, one sentence, you know, this is hard for me, you know, or maybe it's, I'm so confused about something. Think and pray ahead about that. Like, what are some of those words that are going to be at operation in that person's life at that point that will be words that will open them up a little bit?
Well, and if you know your kids well, you know what it's hard for them. What joys I have, you know, my daughter, Northern California, she's this bit, with four kids chasing them around. And the frustrations and challenges of her being a mother are crazy. But I think one of the things that I do well, I don't do a lot of, I mean, one of the, some of the things I do, I love to encourage my kids, encourage them. I know how to encourage them. I know how to pray for them. I don't want to tell them anything. I may share out of my heart, and that's looking for opportunities. Opportunities. To share your story. You know, I always think it's important to ask questions. Like, for example, if your kids share something, the heart is going to, they're going through. You ask them a simple question. May I share something of my story with you? I mean, I think one of the challenges of being a grandparent is you want to tell your kids what to do. And you want to, you think in your head, if I you would raise your kids the way I raised you, they wouldn't be like they are. But you know, my daughter, I mean, this generation, the next generation, this church has been raised an entirely different way. Mm-hmm. And we as the older people. And you ask God, God, help me to get to know these people around me so that I can be present in their lives. Mm-hmm. And share experiences as an older person who's been following Jesus. You had something to share.
I just think everybody's going around exactly the same point of that we've got with our kiddos and our grandchildren. Active listening is so important. And that we can't do what we were done in our past with our parents and grandparents if we didn't have godly faith in our families. You did this because therefore I'm the elder. That doesn't work with our children today or their or grandkids. If you actively listen, and these questions are awesome that you bring up, then they'll open up. And if you ask them, can I pray for you? Can I do this for you? Can I share? Instead of, you will listen because I'm the elder. Then you've got, you will be able to continue.
Now, by the way, if I was in a workshop for the next generation, I would ask them, how do you pay attention to your parents? What do you want to learn from them? And that's a fair question to ask, because as well, you can ask your kids, what do you want to learn from me? Or, what do you want your kids to learn from their grandparents? So you see, at all three of these levels, Isaac, Abraham, Jacob, people all wrestling as a team with some of the same questions. Now, your kids may not follow you. You know, I pointed out in the earlier session, Isaac and Rebecca, they didn't have a good marriage, did they? Mm-hmm. They played favorites in their family. And apart from the sovereign purpose of God, they almost destroyed what God wanted to do. So, it's not important. I mean, I think this is important. Do you have a mental list of failures or weaknesses that you have in your bank of things that would be important for your kids to know? And even if they don't ask your questions in that sense, and at a point in life when you watch them go through things, you may not be close, like my kids are in California or whatever, I could write an email, I could write a letter, say, you know, I want to share, I'm watching you go through this, and I want to share some that your dad never did well. Mm-hmm. And I have to live with it. And I have to trust God to use my failures in their lives to help them. So this would be a fascinating study. I mean, for you to study the scriptures and watch what happens to people as they age and what they don't do well. I have a whole series of Bible studies. People who didn't finish well. And amongst them is King David. He didn't finish his life well. I mean, he trusted God to the end, even his mistakes as he aged. But he made some classic mistakes as he aged. And he suffered a great deal, and the world suffered a great deal for those. I mean, you learn from them. When I take trips to Israel, I point this out. Wherever we go to Beit Shan, and you see the hill where King Saul was hung up there with his three sons. And he didn't finish it well. So you stand there and you talk to people. Do you want to learn from Saul? Let me tell you, he got derailed in his life because of things he didn't do well. Good stuff. What else would you add? Or we can go back to this here. I have to point out, these things, sit in your house, this is a 24/7 deal. You're always thinking about this. Your gut may give you an idea as you're driving a car or when you're with your adult kids. I mean, I want to say this verse doesn't stop. It starts with kids when they're little, but it continues to be the preoccupation of your mind as a parent, as a grandparent, and you shall have them on a sign in your hand, everything you do. What can you do for them that illustrates what is frontals between your eyes? On the doorpost of your house and on your gate. So when your grandkids come to your house, when your adult kids come to your house, what do they see? Doesn't mean you have to put a sign up there. But it means that what's on your television, what you enjoy, the games you practice, the questions you ask, the fun things you do. I think that's part of being a godly grandparent. So on my handout, these are simple things. If you have open your app, be intentional in all of this. I have Psalm. It's Psalm 90, verses 12 and 17. Let me read these. They're great verses on parenting and grandparenting. Psalm 90, if you have in your Bible, is the oldest psalm in the Bible. It was written by Moses. So, I got to read the whole psalm, but I'll pick it up in verse 12. Teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. As a grandparent, your days are more than half over, generally. The average age of people becoming grandparents is 47 and a half today. So those people, if they're believers, they would have at least 4 decades yet to go. So, either as a grandparent, whatever age you are, or as a parent of a kid, teach us at grandparents to number our days. I mean, count them down. I said to my kids, you're going to have a front row seat in watching your parents age. Do I think about that? Do I want them to think about that? Not in a morbid sense. But someday I'll be gone. And that's the whatever happens to legacy. I want to shift down to verse 16. I love this. Follow this. Let your work appear to your servants. Now Moses had a first row seat in seeing God work in his life. Let your work appear to your servants. That's me. That's Psalm 71, 17 and 18. I don't know if I quoted it here, but God works in our lives, whatever our age is. I tell older people, that's the best thing you should talk about with each other. Mm-hmm. Now, what? Talk about your problems, but talk more about what God is doing in your life and your majesty to their children. I love, you want your grandkids to grow up with a great view of God. Mm-hmm. Through your life. You know, my grandson, the big disappointment of my life last week, he turns to Steve, and these hiccups and some other issues in my body forced me to cancel that trip. So sorry about this. And my daughter said to me, Dad, I don't think you should come because you don't know what's going to happen. We're out here. So I wrote my grandson the verse of Jeremiah 29:11. And I said, as a 16-year-old kid, I want you to know that God's greatest plans are ahead. I hope that always characterizes your heart. Wrote him a couple little paragraphs. You know, you trust God. Do something with him. You know, I had a real heart for God when I was 16. And for whatever reason, it's never stopped. It's all of him, nothing me. So you watch your grandkids. Some of them have a greater heart for God than others. I have a little granddaughter out there. She will not end a day without praying for her parents. She's only 10. I say, where did she get this? I have no idea. She catches it from her parents, or she's not catching that from me, except she knows her grandfather, they call him Papa. Papa prays for me. I know that. She knows her parents do too. And on her own, she has said, I want to start praying for you every night before I go to bed. So her dad and mom will come in, and she will pray for them. Is that crazy or what? Confirm your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. I mean, do you want God to bless your life? Excuse me, I don't know what our average age is in here. Pam, how old are you?
75.
We're probably older. Doug, you're young.
70.
But do you want God to bless your life? Is there ever a day you live where you don't pray for the Lord to bless you? Mm-hmm. You know, I bless people all the time. In the street corner, in a car over lunch, by the Aaronic blessing that Moses quoted in Numbers 6. The Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace through Christ our Lord. I pray that. Dozens of times. Weak for people. So let the favor of our Lord be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands. And he prays twice. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. So what's the work of your hands? What was the work of Moses? He wrote this song. What was his mission and what did he do? How did God confirm the work of his hands through his life? What did he do? Tell me.
Lead the people out of Egypt, out of bondage to the promised land. To be faithful to the Lord in that process.
He had God's vision. I'll just put the Greek A up. God's vision for his life and the life of God's people. A vision for what God wants for you and how he wants to use you in the life of God's people, which is, you would say God's people is, I mean, here's you, your kids, your family would be the next thing there.
And then others of all sorts,
in church or whatever, you know, you have a vision of what God has you here for. And not only in church, but your community, where you work. It's amazing. I don't know the gal. I didn't ask her name. And the first one, she said her grandmother was a prayer warrior. She says, I learned the importance of praying. So now everybody in where she works, two generations later, from her grandmother to her, they all come to me. They say, I know you'll pray for me. Will you pray for the problems that I have? So you have a vision of what God wants to do in your life and what it wants to do in others. What else do you learn about Moses? This is powerful to think about this. You know, how do you get along with difficult people?
Difficult people.
How do you deal with your own failures? This is very powerful, I think, to me. Fail. What would you say was Moses' greatest failure? I would say, for me, it's an event that kept him from going to the promised land. And the problem with Moses, he dealt with what God wanted him to do at an emotional level where he is being tested to the nth degree. And he lashes out. He takes the will of God into his own life and says, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. God says, Moses, you're a great guy. I love you. I've been with you all my life. I've chosen you. I've delivered you. But you cannot go into the promise. Land because you have denied my holiness to my people. Now, I would quite honestly say, how many of us have done that in our lives in one way or another, or in hundreds of ways? I don't know. And of course, we're under the new covenant of grace, but it doesn't excuse us for pursuing holiness in our lives. As followers of Christ, as parents of adult kids, and as grandparents. That is our mission. And I think it's legit. I may have to let somebody else take this session over. That's our mission. How do we help each other do that? Anything else you learned from Moses? I mean, you could learn a lot from him, but make a category in your head as you go. You know, I mentioned Crawford Moritz. He has a phrase, don't let me drown in shallow water. That's what Moses did. That's what David did. Simple decisions about follow, and they could not do it. They did not do it. Be intentional. Only gotten through the first note. Set an example. I think Joseph is a great example. Oh, finishing well. There were six generations there. Joseph, Ephraim, his son, his grandson, his great-grandson. Thank you, Pam. I love his example. And his life was tested. I mean, from way on. But here's the value of it. I mean, in Genesis 5, if you could take this apart, his brothers were insecure in their relationship with him. And he thought, they thought that when he died, all hell would break loose because of what they had done to him. And what was his answer? Tell me.
What man intended for evil, God intended for good.
God intended for good. So whatever's happened in the past, you have that perspective. As you age, your challenges, how do you put that in perspective and share it with your kids? You got to be as first. The first note I have there is be intentional. Set an example. Tell your story, the work of God in your life. Be faithful in your calling. What's your mission? What are you doing? You know, don't let retirement change your mission. In fact, when you turn 65 or whatever you do for retirement, however you think about it, it's an opportunity to redefine yourself and a new mission that God has given you. Be faithful in the small things. I think a grandparent notices little things. What are your grandkids going through? What are your adult kids going through? Be faithful. Be there in their lives. Be present. Activities, togetherness. How many things can you do with your adult kids and your grandkids? You know, because Vic and I like to do our jigsaw puzzles. And whenever our kids come to our house, you know, we get a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. So as you're sitting around the table for hours working on that project, you learn all kinds of things about what's going on in their lives. Because they just talk. And you've got your ear to the ground. You're present. How many ways can you communicate? So let's explore that together. How many ways can you communicate with your kids and or your grandkids? We mentioned one earlier, I think. You can be praying to get together. What else would you say? How many ways can you communicate? This could be verbal or nonverbal, present, non-present.
Text, notes.
Text. Notes. Emails. Letters. And they could come all over the place. They could be about simple things. They could be sharing your heart about complex things. They could be asking questions. I do this with my grandson. Pam?
FaceTime or Zoom?
FaceTime.
Away college Zoom.
I have a man in a Bible study I'm in with every Wednesday morning, every week. He has a Zoom Bible study with his grandkids who are 18 and 19. And he spends an hour on Zoom with them going through the scriptures. It's amazing. I do that with Jake, but I mean, we don't go through a Bible study, but I ask those questions. Pam?
I started that tradition with my granddaughter, who's a sophomore now at Ole Miss. And when she was in high school, we would have breakfast together once a week and take before school. So she asked if we could Zoom when she went off to school.
Isn't that awesome?
I waited for her to initiate that. We did a Bible study last year, and we're doing a Bible study this year. I expected her to, you know, enjoy the FaceTime time and to share with me stuff. But other young women who either live with her or lived in the dorm, they hear a grandma's voice. They hear her calling and saying, "Grandma, what do you think about that?" All of a sudden, there's three or four other young
kids
people
on the phone.
And it gives her ministry as well.
Wow, that's awesome.
I have been overwhelmed by it, truthfully.
Now, you have other grandkids, don't you?
Yeah, she's the youngest. Yeah.
And she's the only one with whom you do this?
The grandson, who is very fervent in his walk, we do breakfast together.
Okay, here.
He's here, and he's married.
He's the one who got you to Watermark.
Yes.
Good.
Yes, because he came to the porch.
My son and I have breakfast every week. He's 41.
Yeah.
Single. In some ways, he's still wandering at his life, but I want to meet with him regularly to encourage him. It's hard to do with my daughters. I'll tell you a short story. I went to California years ago, and I think we were flying home the next day in the afternoon. My daughter said to me on Monday night, or the night before we left, whichever night it was, she says, Dad, may I say something to you? And I said, sure, sweetheart. She said, you know, someday I feel like you just come out here to see my kids. And I love that about you. You're highly invested in my kids. And I hope that never changes. But I just want you to know, you and I have not spent any time together. So the next morning, we were able to get an hour and a half together and just talked and prayed about all of these things. But, you know, it was a lesson for me. You know, I need to pay attention to my adult kids. I need to pay attention to my grandkids. In a thousand ways. Anything else you might say? But by the way, this is an interesting thing. You will communicate, and this goes back to the first session, and I don't know that we said this. You will communicate to them through your death. You will leave a trail of whatever happened up here, which will mark their lives forever. But the strong points and or maybe the hurts in those years. So you want to kind of deal with those all as best you can, so that whenever God takes you home, you leave a track record, a legacy of a life that followed Jesus. That's your mission. But we're still in communication. But just thought about that through your death, you will. Anything else you want to add to this?
Companionship, like just doing things together.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful. You know, one of the things I wrestle with, I'm talking about my California kids. My kids here, we hang out with a lot. My son and daughter own and operate a vineyard in California. And my son-in-law and I have developed an event called Wine and the Word. I'm looking to develop family connections. So we invite people to their vineyard, their winery, and we spend 3 days in the vineyard teaching about the vines, the grapes, the wine. And Mark does that one day, and I teach an exposition of John 15, where Jesus uses the vineyard. So here's my problem. Do I go to California for work? And the kids just get thrown right along with it? Or how much money will Vicki and I spend to fly to California just to be with them and do things together on their schedule? Where are those 3 days? I usually preach in their church on a Sunday. So my problem is, I think my work there, if I define it as work, it's part of my whatever to do, is more important than being with my kids. I don't want my kids to say, or my son, you come out here to help us in our vineyard, but you don't hang out with me. Yeah, it's like my daughter said, I'm there with my kids, but anyways, this is personal stuff. I think this is critical. Figure out ways, take them on trips, spend time with them, play with them, be a bit and do things that they want to do. Pam?
The daughter, who is the mother of both of my grandkids, is single. And what I still, pause me, but I spoke to my granddaughter, and I told her I was going over to the house tonight to watch the football game, the Ole Miss Georgia football game.
Who's going to win?
No comment. But she said, I love that, that you and Mom are hanging together.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, they've all said that to me at different times.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I love that you love it on my uncle. I love that you're loving on my mama. So that's communicating.
It is. I think that's the work of Moses. Confirm to us the work of your hands. Yes. Confirm to us the work. This is the work God has given us to do. Give me a confirmation, God. Make it last. Make it last. Make it last. Anything else you'd want to have? Good ideas here.
Ministry together.
Ministry together.
Yes.
This Thanksgiving, we'll go to Kansas City. We try to find a local ministry there that has some kind of special need. Could it be a soup kitchen? Could be putting together meals?
Yeah.
You know, any number of things you could do together.
It takes some hard thinking.
It does.
In 1993, we as a family of five, kids were younger, we all went to Mexico on a medical mission trip as part of the organization I worked with. And my kids to this day will say that was one of the best family times we've ever had in our life. So my question is, why don't I do it now? It's a little bit more complicated. You know, Mark and Jen can't take four kids, 16 to 9. I mean, and would I do it? You all know who Dennis Rainey is?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, I was in Israel this spring. I know him a little bit, enough to say hi to him wherever. So I saw him in the dining hall. I went over and talked to him. I said, Dennis, what are you doing? He said, I have my adult kids and as many of my grandkids here in Israel. And he was taking Israel tour with him. That's part of my dream. I don't know if God will make it happen or what. But he did. That's pretty good stuff. Gee. Are you all taking notes on this? I'll take a picture of it before I finish. Or when we're finished. Which is sneaking up on us. The other, you all are saying this. I'm on the second page here. Strengthen your relationship with your adult kids, investing your life in them, the church, community. This is a big one here. How does the older generation of Watermark do this? She's coming behind. That's the legacy coalition component of Watermark. Does everybody know about legacy here at Watermark? Raise your hands. Anybody not know about it? You qualify at 62.
Thank you. That's exactly right.
Multi-generational living. You know, these are good opportunities when Christmas, Thanksgiving, or whatever. So this is when you have extended family here. Take time to talk about these things around the table. If your grandkids are too little, you know, six and under or whatever, and they're not interested, you know, you can find something to help them or whatever, but make sure you have conversations like this in your home. I mean, turn the TV off and talk. Tell your stories. Ask your kids about their lives. Work on, be aware of and planning for the rest of your life. That's this. We have seven essentials in finishing well. You never stop growing. You never stop building friendships. You never stop loving people as God loves you and God loves them. You invest your life in generations to come. You're always available for what God wants to do in your life in this season. You finish your life. You think about the end of your life, and you have all your life done. And you anticipate eternity with Christ. That's the seven. Paul says we're citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. So you're doing that together. Work on writing, telling your story. Have any of you started writing your story? You have? Good. Yeah, you mentioned that in the first session, I think, didn't you?
No, I said I shared that I write letters.
Yeah, well, they could be a part of your story.
It is, pretty much.
Do you write them in handwriting or you send them on email?
It's handwriting. I want them to have my handwriting.
Well, I agree with that. You know, I'm thinking here, take a picture of them before you send them so you have a record and you can go back. Mm-hmm. Maybe talk about these things, but I think it's important to write your story. In writing, tell them your story. But how you grew up. You know, I love to tell my kids a story about Haiti. I think I mentioned it. I went to Haiti. A missionary convinced me to go to Dallas Seminary. So I came. And I met Vicki and fell in love with her. And my life was changed because of our journey together. And I tell my kids, I said, if I had never listened to God in Haiti to come to Dallas Seminary, you wouldn't be here. Because I never would have met your mother. You are a result of your dad being obedient to God. And God took care of it. But he's doing it every day in our lives, every season in our lives. He's doing it now. I mean, I never dreamt to have a ministry called Finishing Well Ministry 15 years ago. Never in my wildest imagination would have thought about that. But whether it's a ministry or whether it's reaching out to a neighbor or somebody's church, getting hold of the next generation, say, I want to make a difference somewhere. It doesn't matter. Do it. I want to say this, and maybe you've done this, if your parents, express to your parents their importance in your life and with your kids. How often are you grateful for your mom and dad? You know, my mom and dad aren't here anymore. Any of you don't have your parents either. So every time I'm with my kids, I tell how important they are to me. Every time with my grandkids, I tell them how important they are to me. And you should do it with your parents and or your grandparents. Pray with your kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids. I mentioned before, a godly grandparent will pray for their kids. I mean, in all kinds of ways. We started that one up here, and there's the same ways you can pray. But every time my kids leave my house, I want them to know they have my blessing and praise for what God wants to do. Every time my grandkids leave my house, I put my hands on those kids and say, I love you, and I'm praying for you. And I pray right there. It's not a long, complicated prayer. They're not interested in long, complicated prayers from their grandkids. But I want them to know it's back to here on your house and everything, what you stand for. I have one more slide here. See if I can get to it. Resources. You got the Legacy Ministry here at Watermark. I'm very involved with an organization called the Legacy Coalition. It's a grandparent. Of you know about it? Anybody not know about it? You all do. I spoke at their national convention 2 weeks ago down at Tony Evans Church. I'm wired with them. There's a newsletter called Grandkids Matter by Ken Canfield. He's not organized into a national ministry like Legacy Coalition. He just writes about being a good grandparent. Great insights. And I love Tim Kimmel. I think they use some of his stuff here. You know, Tim and I were in seminary together. He was a year ahead of me. But I've watched his organization start when he was a young parent. So now he's 75, maybe 76, I don't know. But he is writing more about our age stuff because he couldn't write about it 40 or 30 years ago. Excuse me. So maybe some of those will help you. Any final questions? We're about out. You guys are wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope it's been helpful. I don't have my email here, but it is hal@finishingwellministries.org. If I can help you in any way, I'd love to. Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for this hour of conversation and encouragement with each other. I pray that you would bless each person here. Fill them with your spirit to maximize the importance of this season in their lives. With their adult kids, with their grandkids, as a grandparent. But all those people that surround that community, whether it's here, church, or in their community where they live, or work, or whatever it is, give them a vision and help them to grasp your purpose anew and fresh every day in their lives. We love you and thank you for Jesus, who illustrates the importance of living for you, our Heavenly Father. I ask you to bless the people and encourage them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.